Good morning, Victory Church. How y'all doing? God bless you. Oh, let me give you the update on our move to Gainesville. How many of you know we're moving to Gainesville? We're praying and believing for that. So up to today, we have received $71,591. You notice a big jump from last week. And it's because we started the year off saying it's going to be 2019, the year of overflow, and people are experiencing overflow. And that's what this is, overflow. Thank the Lord. That is awesome. Man, God is so good. God is so good. He's really helping us with this move, and you all are helping with this move. Let me tell you, you all are the best workers on the planet. A lot of these contractors need to hire you because they're not quite as good, don't work as hard, and they don't show up as well. But you guys did awesome work. In fact, you did had work nights this last week. We had a Monday night, Tuesday night, and Thursday night. They were very well attended, and you got so much done. In fact, we have caught up with the professional guys. Wow. And now we need to wait on them. So we were going to have weeknights, but now we need to, this week, we're not going to have work nights this week. Check Facebook on Friday about Saturday, because right now, like I said, we caught up to them. These guys need to do some of their stuff before we can continue. So that's good. That's good news. We're caught up with our work. Like I say, you all are doing. Keep praying for those guys to show up when they said they're going to show up and do what they're supposed to do. But do check Facebook on Friday to see if we're going to have a work day on Saturday. So the guys need to show up and do their stuff this week. And if you don't know what Facebook is, just use your telephone and call the church on Friday morning, and Pastor Mike can tell you what we're going to be doing on Saturday. Isn't this awesome? God's moving. You guys are doing a great job. God's blessing us financially. The work is getting done. And once again, the reason we're doing this is we just feel like we need to be faithful to the Great Commission. That's what churches are all about. The Great Commission is go into all the world and win souls and make disciples. And we realize we can do that much more effectively about 10 miles up the road, because there's a lot more traffic, a lot more people. Even when we're working, people are just stopping in. In fact, I think it was Thursday night, we had the work night, and a guy come in, "What are you all doing here?" And I said, "We're putting in a church." He said, "Hallelujah." He says, "I pastor the church on Waldo Road, right across from Lincoln High School. I'm so glad you guys are here." He's there with his daughter. And I said, "Well, you know, I'm busy right now, but as soon as we get moved in, can we go to lunch?" And his face lit up. He said, "Yeah, that would be great." And I just think I made a friend. I feel like we're going to be connected. We're going to be in the same neighborhood. So just good things like that are happening. I'm excited to get back in Gainesville. It's going to be awesome. Awesome. He said, "I'm so happy to see a church coming in this building. We really need it." You know, that's great, because he could have said, "A church? You're only a mile from my building. What are you doing?" No, but he was like, "Praise the Lord." And I like that. That's kingdom-minded. Oh, yeah. That's the way I feel. You know, somebody said one time, I told him, he said, "Where's your church?" I said, "It's right there." He said, "Oh, you're in competition with such and such. They're right down." I said, "No, I'm never in competition with another church. I'm in competition with the devil trying to take people to hell. We're on the same team. I'm one of their partners. We're teammates." Don't ever look at it like that, like we're in competition. We're not in competition with the church. We're in competition with the devil, because our job is to win souls, make disciples. The devil's job is to take them to hell and ruin their lives. And other churches are on the same mission as us. They're our partners. They're our friends. They're our teammates. Amen. Well, there should be some sermon notes in your worship guide, but if you need an extra copy, the ushers would love to give you one. Raise your hand. They'd love to give you one. Today is Palm Sunday. Did you see the palms as you came in? Strategically placed on the floor and some out front. Palm Sunday. And I think the palm is a very beautiful thing, and it's very symbolic that they waved. Palm Sunday was about, we're not going to read that passage. We're going to see it in a little video clip in a little bit. You know the story of Jesus. This sets up what we call the Passion Week. The last week of Jesus' life on earth. Palm Sunday is the Sunday before the resurrection. That week was a very busy week for Jesus. This is when he overturned the tables in the temple and miracles happened. And then we have the Last Supper and institution of communion. And then that night, he's betrayed. This is getting ready on Sunday. Just in a few days, this is going to happen. He's going to be betrayed by one of his closest associates. He's going to have a mock trial, be brought before the Sanhedrin and beaten already there and accused and mocked and blasphemed and then turned over to Pilate and further mocked and beaten and blasphemed. And then that day, you know, after that night, the next day, he's crucified, he dies, he's put in a grave. So Palm Sunday is marking all that. And then the next Sunday is the day he rises from the dead. So the palms were something that they waved those palms. It's symbolic of praise. They threw their garments on the ground. They laid the palms on the ground for him to come in. And what they were saying by that was, we believe you are the Son of God. Yeah. So I believe that what Palm Sunday is a pattern. It's a pattern for our life. All the events of the Bible are not just events that happened and that was nice. No. Moses going, parting the Red Sea. That did actually happen. It is an event. But all these things, God is so wise in the Bible that something that happened is a pattern for something that goes on in our life today. Parting the Red Sea, you know, that's a symbol of, you know, coming out of Egypt, that's salvation. Getting away from Pharaoh, the devil, getting out of slavery. And then the Red Sea is water baptism. You're being baptized into God. And then they're in the wilderness and he brings water out of the rock. We need water every day for our lives. They get manna from heaven. We need manna in our lives every day. And then they sin. And so we realize we need to stay away from sin. And then they cross the Jordan into the Promised Land, which is a picture of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All these are symbolic patterns. And when you see Palm Sunday a week before the resurrection, it's a pattern in our life. And what it is that in order for you and I to get the breakthrough, to get the resurrection, to get the victory over death, hell, and the grave, and how it's working in our life, it has to be preceded by praise. Yeah. Thanking ahead of time. That's what those palms are symbolic for. Praise in our life. And sometimes it's hard to do that because we get caught up in the seriousness and the heaviness and the difficulty of life, and all we focus on is that. And he's saying, no, you got to break away from that, and you got to get your praise on. You got to get your palm out. And I know it's just the English language, but I think it works well for us. Palm, everybody, if you can't find one of these, you've got two of these, right? You got your own palms. If you can't find a palm frond, you got your own palm that you can raise to God. That's the most beautiful praise, lifting your hands to God when you don't feel like lifting your hands. But it's going to be the key to your and my breakthrough, and that's what Palm Sunday is all about. Praise before the resurrection. Anybody can praise when the breakthrough comes. It was great to praise after he rose from the dead, but they had to do it the week before in order for him to rise from the dead. Praise before the victory. That's the challenge right there, isn't it? Praise before your healing when you don't feel like it. I know what it's like to be sick and in pain. It's a hard time to praise, but you got to do it. You got to do it. That's the time to praise. That's the key to your breakthrough. We're talking about overflow. Don't wait till the overflow comes to praise him. Praise him now in expectation of believing that the overflow is coming. That's what takes faith. It's expectancy. Believing that God's going to honor his word. You're standing on the scripture, right? And so faith says what God said is going to happen. Faith is merely trusting that God's not a liar. Yeah. That what he said he would do, he will do. And that it's going to happen. It's got to precede it. Praise before the overflow. Praise before the salvation that you're believing for that loved one. Instead of just giving them a hard time because they're lost and they're in the darkness and they act like it and just treating them like that, are always going to be like that. How about just praising God and treating them like where they're going to be? That's a statement of faith, isn't it? Yeah, it's good. It takes faith to praise God before the victory manifests. Anybody can praise him after the victory manifests. But maybe the victory is being delayed because we're not putting into action that which God can move upon, the statements of faith, the joy, the thanks, the praise. Go with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 17. This same saying is repeated throughout the Bible, even the Old Testament, and then several places in the New Testament. And it's something we need to understand as a pattern of life. And it says this, but the righteous man shall live by faith. No matter what you're going through, you can tell me this is happening, all things are going, and that I would say, you just take the scripture and say, but, see, it's, everybody's got a but, you know, and sometimes we put our but in the wrong place, and that is, you know, we say, God is good, yeah, but, no, that's the wrong place. When you say, I'm having a hard time, yeah, but God said, that's putting the but in the right place. And no matter what we're facing, then this thing starts with, but, wherever you're going through, but, I'm having a hard time, but, the righteous man shall, what? Live by faith. Live. When do you live? Every day. Every morning. Are you living? Every noon. Are you living? Every evening. Are you? When are you not living? You're alive. You live. It's not once in a while. It's not once a week. It's not every morning. It's the fabric of our life. The warp and woof of our life. You know, they ever heard those terminology? It goes back to the 1500s, but it's used still commonly used, and it has to do with how fabric is made. They would pull the, what do they call that thing, one way, and then they push it the other way, and then they pull it this way, and then they pull it this way. The loom, and it takes two fibers, it pushes one this way and one that way, and one is called the warp, and the other is called the woof. And then when you're done, you have a pattern that those strands are much, much stronger. It's the fabric of life. The warp and woof of life has to be the foundation, is faith. It's what holds everything together. It's what makes it work. It's what's going to get you through the next trial. Because I'm not here to tell you that if you become a Christian, you'll never have trials. No, no, no. Nothing could be further from the truth. The earth is under a curse. There's sickness. There's disease that was all catapulted by Adam and Eve disobeying. And so that brought about pain and suffering on the earth. And as long as the earth is in the condition it is now, we continue to have challenges. And James said, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of what? Your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. That's the goal. That's what you're looking at. Don't be surprised when you have a trial. Just say, I'm going to get through this. And on the other side of that verse, James 1, verses 1, 2, 3, just go look those up. It says, I'm going to be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. That's your goal. That's the goal of your faith. Where's your faith going? What's your faith looking at? Faith has to see something. Faith is seeing something that is not yet a reality, but you see it promised in the Word of God and say, that's where I want to go. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to have. I'm going to lay hold of that. And now I got to, is there a grace provided? Yes, the old rugged cross provided healing, salvation, deliverance, prosperity. And then I take my faith and I keep it consistent. And what's going to happen? Consider it all joy. So I gotta be positive. I gotta be optimistic. Don't get into the negative. It's so hard. That's not good. It's not good. I know. I've been there. I do that. It's easy. It's common, but it's not gonna bring the results that we want. Negativity will not release God's power. Fear does not release God's power. It actually enables Satan to do more. What releases God's power is faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So your hope is positive. So if faith is the substance of things hoped for, what's the opposite of that? Fear is the substance of things dreaded. They are both powers. They are both dynamic powers. Don't say fear is harmless. It's not, because it's powerful. They are polar and opposite dynamic life forces. What we fear, you know, you read the book of Job and all the problems he had. The key to the understanding of the book of Job is one verse that he said. He said, what I have greatly feared has come upon me. His fear was a dynamic life force that pulled what he dreaded into reality. Now, on the same hand, we can see when we see fear in our life, we have to hate it and we have to replace it with what? So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is positive. So those two things are always vying for our mind. Fear, the devil paints a picture of something bad, and we give life to it, we meditate on it, and that becomes fear, and fear pulls that into reality in our life. On the other hand, there's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are we hoping for? Health, prosperity, blessing, good things. Okay? What brings that into reality? Faith. Faith is the substance or the material or the fulfillment of things hoped for. But the righteous man, Romans 1:17, the righteous man shall live by faith. Not on occasion, not once in a while, not on Sunday morning. Hopefully you come Sunday morning, I build up your faith so that you can go out and stand in faith, live in faith the rest of the week. That's, church is important. It needs to be faith building and encouraging. Relationships are important. Relationships need to build your faith, not build your fear. If you got people in your life that are always down in the mully grubs, complaining, always full of fear, maybe they're a project for you to help, but don't let them speak that into your life. Be aware that you have to have people that build your faith. You got to have your company of people that strengthen you. The righteous man shall live by faith. You have to live by faith, not live by doubt. Some people live by doubt. Wrong result. Not going to get the right results. Don't live by complaining. Don't live by fear. Live by faith. It's a choice. Living by faith is a choice. God loves free will. Did you ever notice that? He doesn't force anybody to do anything. He doesn't force anybody to accept him. He does not force anybody to live in faith. It's just as easy to live in doubt as it is to live in faith. That's the challenge of the life, of our life. Faith says, if you like fill in the blanks, there's one in your notes. What does faith say? Faith says, thank you. That's what faith says. Faith says thank you, but it also says it at a very critical time. It says thank you before it happens. That's why I had you start thanking God, because this morning, as we were praising for your victory, start thanking it. This is a principle. You start thanking him now. That takes faith. That takes faith. What are you believing for? What's against you? What's the mountain that's in your way, the obstacle, the challenge, the difficulty that you're facing right now? Because everybody's facing something. If you're not, just keep praising God, because sure and certain, there is a devil loose. And you, now is the time when things are going well. Now's the time to build your faith. It's not a time to just rest and get away from God. No. Because the trials and tests of life are going to come to everybody. Faith says thank you before it happens. On Palm Sunday, the people praised him before he rose from the dead in order to be the true Messiah. He had to rise from the dead. He hadn't done that yet. Yes, he did miracles. He taught. They had I'm pretty sure he's the Son of God. But he hadn't pulled that ultimate feat off yet, which is to rise from the dead. He's not going to do that for a week, but they praised him anyway. See, faith says thank you before it happens. Praise praises him before the breakthrough comes, before the resurrection. To get to the breakthrough, to get to the resurrection, to get to the victory, you have to praise him in expectation. So we're going to watch a little video clip from the movie Jesus, which was made in the 70s. Just the name of the movie is Jesus, according to the Gospel of Luke. There's some interesting things about this movie. And I was thinking, when we get in the new building, I want to have a movie night and watch this movie, because I haven't seen it in a long time. It's really a great movie. And we'll have popcorn and sodas, and we'll watch the movie Jesus. How many would like to do that? Sit around and watch that together. The reason I like this movie is very interesting, because any word spoken is found in the Gospel of Luke. So they didn't embellish or add anything. Also, it was entirely filmed on location, in a pretty much exact location as best as they could figure out where everything happened in the Bible, which is interesting. You can see that place. The other interesting thing is that every character in the movie, except for the person that played Jesus, who is British, everybody else in the movie was born and lived right there. That's pretty interesting. And we're going to watch a clip. Instead of reading it out of Luke 19, we're just going to watch it played out. The actual spot called the descent into Jerusalem, where Jesus actually rode the donkey in. The people did this. And we're going to watch that. Go ahead and roll that clip. Thank you.
command your disciples to be quiet.
I tell you, if they were to be quiet, the stones themselves would begin shouting.
If only on this your day you had known the path for peace, but you have failed to see it. The days will come when your enemies build ramparts to surround you and hem you in, pressing hard from every side. And within these walls they will destroy you, you and your children. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation.
Because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. He was happy, and then he was sad. I think the same thing is true today. When we come and we worship and we praise, and people that are in church today and they've made a sacrifice, I think it makes Jesus happy. And then there are people outside, like what he's saying, why aren't you up here praising? Because you missed the day of your visitation. You missed it. You missed it. You're not celebrating me. And everybody on the earth needs to celebrate Jesus. If they're not, it's not going well. That's why the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See, it's important to lift up the name of Jesus. That's what Palm Sunday says to me, is lifting up the name of Jesus, lifting up his name, praising his name. There's people up here praising my name, he said, and there's people down there, they missed it, they missed it. And he turned sad because they missed it. Not because of him. He's not full of ego and pride. No, you're not up here. No, it's for them. He feels sad for them. He's God all by himself. He doesn't need praise. We need praise. You become like what you worship. We need to become more like him, not more like the world, not more like ourselves. I don't want to be more like me. I want to be more like Jesus, and that means me to die. And I have to lift up his name. When you lift up his name, you lose yourself and you find him. And that's what makes him sad. He's looking. The whole town is down here. You missed your day of your visitation. Don't us miss our day. Let's praise him, not on Sunday mornings, but Sunday afternoon, and when we go to lunch, and when we go to dinner, when you lay down at night, even though you might have things on your mind that are heavy, just begin to thank him, begin to praise him. I've found in life, that's the key to the breakthrough. I don't always do it, but I catch myself. I've learned that this is it, and I try to catch myself and say, stop that, stop fearing, stop worrying, stop doubting. Begin to praise him, begin to thank him. It's a lifelong challenge not to be consumed by fear and worry. Come on, can anybody agree with him? Say, I have that same struggle as am I, the only one. I have that struggle. As much as I've learned, as much as I studied, dag nabbit, I like to worry. I mean, it's the default setting to worry. And I say, stop that, stop. It eats me up. I say, gotta pray, okay. I got to run to the Word. I'll just be honest with you. When stuff happens, I got to go to the Word. I got to get my Bible open. And as soon as I do, air comes back into me. Oh, you ever see that? They used to have that commercial. I could have had a V8. I hate V8. That stuff's nasty. You ever try that? Who likes V8? Anybody like V8? That's what I thought. Three people like V8. Three of you. How many hate V8? That's nasty. Come on, all right, I'm in the wrong place, in the right place. That stuff's nasty. I could have had a V8. And I say, I could have been reading the Word. I could have been thanking God. I gotta get myself straight. And I don't know about you, but that's what I got to do. I just got to. And if I can't get my hands on a Bible, I'll pull up some scriptures. Or I'll just start singing and praising God. And things change. Fear leaves when you begin to worship God all by yourself in your car, in the shower, wherever you begin to praise God. Fear begins to dissipate. It goes away because it can't stand praising God. Jesus was happy and he was sad. When you praise him, you make him happy. Amen. That was good worship today, Jordan. That was great. It made me happy because it makes God happy, and when you know God's happy, it makes you happy. When you get happy, God gets happy, and it's a cycle. It's good. So missed the opportunity to make him sad, which is not rejoicing in who he is and what he did. Praise precedes victory, just like Palm Sunday precedes, has to, every year Palm Sunday precedes Easter. It has to, and praise has to precede your victory. Yeah. Israel, when they went to battle in the Old Testament, they always sent the worshipers out first. That doesn't make any sense. They're defenseless. They got horns and instruments. But they're fighting more than the guys with the swords, because they're preparing the way for victory. And it's the same thing in your life. It's the same thing in my life. The praise has to go first. When they came to Jericho, as soon as they crossed the Jordan and into the Promised Land, the first thing they faced was Jericho, a walled city, impenetrable, not to God. And how did they get in there? By engineering? No. By shouting praise over the place, blowing the trumpets and shouting a praise to God. And we know the story. The walls came a-tumbling down. Hosanna in Webster's 1828 defines it this way: an exclamation of praise or an invocation of blessing. Now, if you read most of the earlier translations, they use the word Hosanna. Some modern translations, they go ahead and translate it out, but the word is Hosanna. Hosanna means an exclamation of praise or an invocation of blessing. An exclamation of praise, so they were Hosanna in the highest, an exclamation of praise or an invocation of blessing. I think it's both. When you praise him, it is an invocation of blessing. When your hands go up, the blessings come down. That's an old saying we used to have in the church, and I believe it's scripturally accurate. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. It's just a natural, that's just like a law of nature, Like if you drop something, gravity will pull it down. If you lift up praise, blessings will take its place and it will come down in your life. Go with me to John chapter 12, verse 27. And this is, okay, after Palm Sunday, just after the Last Supper, they go out into the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus gives this discourse. And this is part of it here. And he says, now my soul has become troubled. Has your soul ever become troubled? And what shall I say? Father, save me from... This is interesting. And I think it's to help every one of us, because you're going to have trouble. You're going to have problems. You're going to have difficulties. Jesus was tested every way such as we. So everything that we have to go through, he had to go through. And he was the example, and he showed us how to get the victory. Here's a key right here, victory, when you have trouble in your life. And again, I'm not telling you if you become a Christian, you won't have trouble. You will. But you can have the victory through Jesus Christ. Always expect the victory. Never expect the trouble to win. Always expect Jesus to win over the trouble in your life. He said, now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. There's some things you got to go through. He said, I'm not saying I want to skirt this. I'm saying I got to go through, because I got to get to the other side. There's a purpose in your pain that you're going through. And don't just sit there and say, oh, God, why am I have to go through this? Say, how am I going to get through this? Amen. There's a purpose to get to the other side. It's going to make you stronger. It's going to make you better. Regardless of the source of where it came from, God wants to take you through. He always leads you in his triumph. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, what? Here's the key. In every situation, every trial that you face, every difficulty, here's what we can say. Father, glorify your name. Whatever you're going through, ask God to turn it into a praise for his name. And when I get through this, my message will become a message. My test will become my testimony. And the glory is going to go to you. It's not going to be telling people, oh, how great I am. I saw the problem. No, how great my God is, because I couldn't figure out how to get out of this mess. In fact, I got myself into this mess, but God got me out of this mess. Amen. Glorify your name. Give him all the glory. Point to him. And that's the way you're going to get through. And then it says, a voice came out of heaven. You see, when you say, glorify your name, he'll speak to you. People say, well, I can't hear from God. Here's a key right here. In the midst of your trouble, praise him anyway, glorify his name, and a voice came out of heaven. He'll speak to you. God still speaks. He said, I know my sheep. My sheep know my voice. He wants to speak to us. A voice came out of heaven, but watch this. A voice came out of heaven and said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying an angel spoke. The King James says, some said it thundered. It's an interesting concept. That even though God spoke, some said, no, he didn't speak. That was thunder. You ever had that happen in your life? I've told people sometimes my testimony. I told them about a miracle. I told one person about a miracle where God saved me. And they said, oh, that was just a coincidence. They said, it thundered. Oh, that was just thunder. Thunder is a natural phenomenon. We always hear thunder. Thunder is not supernatural, right? But when God speaks out of heaven, it's supernatural. And people will try to tell you the supernatural move of God in your life. Oh, that was just thunder. See, they heard the voice, but they didn't hear the voice. They didn't recognize who was speaking. And then some said it was an angel. At least they knew somebody was speaking. But Jesus knew who it was. He heard the voice of the Father. And Jesus answered and said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon the world, and the ruler of this world will be cast out. Hey, man, everybody give the Lord praise about that. Thank God the ruler of this world will be cast out. Hallelujah. And here's the key. You say, well, I'm looking forward to that day, but do I have to wait? Huh? You know, he can be cast out of your situation. He can be cast out of your family. He can be cast out of your finances. He can be cast out of your body. And he says, here's the key right here. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. That's what church is. It lifts up the name of Jesus. That's what you do out in the world. We lift up the name of Jesus. That's the key to your victory. Lift up the name of Jesus. Don't lift up the problem. Lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. If we lift up his name, he'll speak to us. If we lift up his name, he'll draw us to himself. How many would like to be drawn closer to God? If you lift up his name, he'll rescue you. You ever been rescued? I've been rescued a lot of times. I could tell you so many different stories where I say, God rescued me. I'm going to tell you a story right now where this, I think, is a direct application of lifting up the name of Jesus and rescuing. We went, 1981, I went to be part of a team to start a church in L.A. And Rebecca came out about 6 months later. We knew each other. We weren't married at the time. She came out to be evangelist at UCLA, the church that we started. After a while, I finished my degree, and I got a job teaching at a college in Hollywood, California. I taught accounting, and my boss' name was Jerry Brenneman. He was a retired sheriff, a sergeant with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. He was the head of the faculty. And I loved Jerry. We were good friends. We ate lunch together all the time. But he was an atheist. And he was a funny atheist. He had a joke for everything. He was a nice... I loved Jerry. I loved Jerry so much. We ate lunch together every day. But doggone it, anything I said about God or the Bible, he had so many jokes, he turned everything into a joke. He just wouldn't... But he was convinced there was no God, and he had all these funny sayings, and everything I'd tell him. We have lunch every day. I'd pray. I said, today is the day I'm going to get a breakthrough in Jerry's life. And he just made fun of... He had so many funny things about Christians, about the Bible, about Christianity. But anyway, he was a motorcycle rider. He rode his motorcycle to work every day, and on the weekends, they rode dirt bikes out in the desert. And one day we were talking, he's telling me, I said, you ought to come out in the desert. Well, I've ridden some bikes before. We had a scooter on the farm, and we'd race it around. He said, oh, you'd be great. So you're going to go with me? He said, I got an extra motorcycle. We're going to go out. We're going to go out to the desert. It's about 2.5 hours from L.A. You're out in the middle of the Mojave Desert, a place called Jawbone Canyon, 500,000 acres owned by the Bureau of Land Management. Beautiful. Not a tree in sight. It's desert, mountains, hills, valleys. We're going to go out there and we're going to ride with my buddies. These guys have been riding together for 20, 30, 40 years. And so he takes me out there. They go out there in his El Camino. We put the two bikes in the back. We get out there to Jawbone Canyon, meet up with all his buddies. We ride around a little bit. He says, oh, you're good. You're good to go. We're going to go. You ride good. Let's go. Let's go. We take off. There's about 12 or 15 of us. It's a big pack. Man, these guys took off. Woo, they took off. So I'm riding Jerry's bike. So I'm like second to the last. Jerry's staying behind me just in case something happened. He's watching me. I said, boy. And we're riding for a couple hours. We're out in the middle of the desert. I'm having fun. This is a great day. They start this long ascent. We keep going up these hills. We're going up these hills. We get to the top. And we got to the top of a mountain. And you just look down. And I thought, oh, what a great view. They brought us up to this vista to look out. And I thought, that's great, because surely ain't nobody going down this mountain. And then one by one, they started going over. Boom. I said, what the? Are you? What the? I mean, we had come up, and it was like sand, and I looked down, and it was almost just a straight vertical drop, and it's just covered with small rocks, bigger rocks, and boulders. And then there's a little trail going in between, and these guys are going just like, choo, down there, and I'm like, oh, surely we ain't, and everyone goes except me and Jerry, and I look back at Jerry, and he's sitting on his bike like this. I go, well, I guess he thinks I'm going down there, so I guess they didn't prepare me, they didn't tell me how to do it. So nobody told me the secret is you put your bike in first gear, you lock your rear wheel, you feather your front brake, and you just follow that. Nobody told me that. Nobody told me. I didn't know that. So, well, I figured I had to lock my rear wheels, but I tried to do it with my brake. So I held the rear brake, and I knew I couldn't touch the front brake because I figured you just go over. So we start down, and I get down about the bike immediately, like in 3 seconds, I'm going 60 miles an hour. It's like, this ain't good. Immediately hit a big rock, bang, bang, boom, fall over, tumble, the bike's down. I look up. I can't even climb up there. There's no. I thought the only way out of here is down. I thought, well, I got to figure out how to get out of here. It was hard. Hard to even stand up, and I maneuvered the bike, and I got it kind of pointed downhill, and I thought, okay, here's what I got to do. I got to get the bike up and then jump on the bike, because it's going to start going down. I was like behind a rock. I'm going to get it out from behind, and I'm going to stand it up. I'll jump on the bike, get my foot on the brake, lock it back up. It's a good plan, right? So I got the bike. Well, you give me a better plan. I did it. I got the bike was tall. It was not a kind of bike where you could put both feet on the ground. It was like really high. You can only get one foot on the ground. So I got the bike, and I pushed the bike and jumped, and before I could get my foot on the brake, I'm going like 90 miles an hour heading down. So only thing attached to the bike is my knuckles, my hands, and I'm just doing like a straight vertical drop down the side. I don't know where the path is. I hit one of those giant boulders, and the front spokes on the wheel went bing, and the bike went straight up in the air, and I knew I was dead. But something came out of my mouth. I screamed as loud as I could into my helmet, Jesus. I screamed. I'm telling you, it was just a primal scream. I didn't plan it. I didn't think it. It just came up out of me. I knew that this is the end. I'm looking. It's a 2,000-foot drop. And I'm just at the very beginning. And I hit that big boulder, and I went straight up in the air, and I was airborne, and I said, Jesus! It would have scared you if you heard it. It would have scared you really bad. It was not it was not a shout of faith. It was a shout of desperation. Somehow, I made it to the bottom. And that I kept hearing that. It sounded like a country song, the twang on those spokes hitting those rocks. Bling, 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 bling. And I'm going, and I'm just holding. I only thing attached to the bike was my hands. And I finally get to the bottom. And there's a big flat spot in the bottom. It's just a bunch of dirt. And I look up, and then there's a short hill, and all those guys are lined up looking at me like this, watching me on the top of the next hill. And I thought, well, I made it to the bottom. I just got upright. I gassed it. I went up on the top and got parked up. And they're all facing me, looking at me, and all of their eyes were this big and all their mouths. Every one of them, just like... And the one guy, the leader of the pack, Roy, said, you didn't tell us you was a trick rider. And from then on, they called me Downhill Bill. That was my name at lunch. Then when I didn't show up, they said, Jerry, where's Downhill Bill? We miss him. We want to see more of that trick riding. We rode the rest of the day. We finished up. We had our lunch. We got in the car. We loaded everything up. We're heading back to L.A. We got on the main road. In his El Camino with the air conditioning on. It was hot out there. It felt good after a long day of riding. And Jerry looked at me and he said, when you went over that hill and lost it, he said, I was looking where to land the helicopter. He said, we've had the helicopter guys out of here before. And he said, as soon as you went over, he said, I knew you were a goner. He said, I was just looking where we're going to land the helicopter. This is the only way. You can't get a vehicle in there. And I said, Jerry, I'm going to tell you what happened. I said, I believe God did a miracle. I said, when I lost it and I hit that big rock, I wasn't ashamed. I said, I screamed the name of Jesus. Now, remember who he is. He's an atheist. He's never said anything serious about God. He makes fun of it. He mocks it every time. And I said, I believe God did a miracle and saved my life. He's driving the car. Now, you got to look. He's about 6'5", cop with the cop hair, you know, the crew cut, and those aviator sunglasses that the cops like to wear. He's sitting there just serious as can be. And he looked at me and said, I believe it. It wasn't too long after that, Jerry got killed in really close to that same location riding a motorcycle. My only hope is that moment of praise, giving praise to God, the only time I ever heard him say, I believe something. My hope is, I wasn't there when he died. He got killed on his motorcycle in that same location. My hope is that before he died, he thought about the miracle that he saw and that he believed. And I hope I get to see him in heaven. But I think when you lift up his name, he'll rescue you. If you don't know anything else, you can lift up the name of Jesus. You can shout it, you can scream it, you can do what you need to. If you lift up his name, I believe he'll fight for you. If you lift up his name, I believe he'll release his angels. Maybe there were some angels helping me. There was some kind of power helping me, because there's no reason why. It certainly wasn't my power. I'm no trick rider. I didn't figure it out. I didn't figure it out at all. I don't even remember how I got to the bottom. All I could do, I was just hanging on. If you lift up his name, he'll release his power. If you lift up his name, he'll bind Satan. Do you feel like you're getting some resistance? Sometimes maybe you just need to shout Jesus to that situation. The resurrection is for every day. Hosanna is for every day. Praise is for every day. An invocation of blessing is for every day. Jesus is for every day. Psalm 91, 14-16 puts it this way, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I'll set him securely on high. Why? Because he has known my name. Do you know his name? Do you use his name? Do you invoke his name? He will call upon me and I will answer him. I called upon him. It wasn't a very complex prayer, but he knew what I was saying. I don't want to die on this hill right now. And he answered my prayer. He will call upon me and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. He didn't say he'd keep you away from trouble. Look at that. He says, I'll be with him. You feel like you're in trouble? He's with you. You're not alone. You're not alone when you're in trouble. No, he doesn't abandon you when you get in trouble. I'm with you in trouble. Praise God. He's with you in trouble. And what will he do? Just enjoy the trouble with you? No, I will rescue him and honor him. Woo, praise God, I like that. Whatever you're going through, look to the other side. Faith says thank you. Say, he's going to get me through this and honor me. And what's you going to do when he honors you? I'm going to honor him. I'm going to give him all the glory. I didn't sit there and tell Jerry, I didn't tell you I'm a trick rider. No, I said, I did. I was lost and I screamed and God helped me. We're going to give the glory to God. When he gets you through what you're going through, give him all the praise. That's what Hosanna is. Hallelujah. And look at the goal with a long life. Everybody say long life. Don't believe for a short life. Don't believe, oh, I guess I've seen enough now. Son. No, with a long, put a bunch of O's in there, long life, will I satisfy him and let him see my salvation. What kind of salvation? What are you going through? You need salvation. You need healing. You need deliverance. You need an answer. Palm Sunday always comes before Easter. Praise always comes before victory. Lift up his name. He'll rescue you. He'll honor you. He'll bless you and give you long life. Praise has to be a daily routine. Write that down in your notes. It has to be a daily routine, part of the fabric of your life. Praise him more and more. Praise him often. Praise him always. Praise him when you don't understand. Did you ever not understand? Praise him when you're in trouble. Praise him when you're not in trouble. Praise him when you don't feel like praising him. Praise him when it's not easy. Praise him when you don't want to. You know, because God is good all the time. When it doesn't look like God is good, guess what? God is good. God is never not good. God is never not perfect. When you don't understand, praise him anyway. Praise him always. Praise him every day. Praise him every way. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who, what? I looked up that word in the Greek. You know what literally that word in the Greek, you know what it literally means? Very good, always. That's why they put always there, that because that's what it means. Always, whatever you're going through, the devil say, oh, he's not going to help you this time. Say no, always leads us in triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. And manifests through us the sweet aroma. It's going to be sweet. When you get through this, it's going to be sweet. The sweet aroma. That testimony is going to be sweet. People want to hear it. It's sweet. Don't be sour. Don't be mean. If you're going through it, don't be sour. Be sweet ahead of time. Be sweet anyway, because God's a sweet God. He likes sweet people. Be sweet. We're sweet. Look what it says. We're not a sour aroma in the world. We don't look like we've been baptized in lemon juice, spent the night upside down in a post hole. No, we got a sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him. Give people a sweet aroma of God, because He's been sweet to you. Be sweet always. He always leads us. We don't always follow, but He always leads us. Praise helps you to follow. And it says, all the more as you see the day approaching. Last verse, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking your own assembling together. Now, I know you understand that because you're here today. But unfortunately, a lot of the church, Christians, they don't understand this principle. Not forsaking your own assembling together. You say, yeah, but I can be a Christian. Yeah, you can. But there's a reason God said He would build, Jesus said He'd build His church. Don't forsake your own assembling together, as is the habit of some. It's a bad habit. It's a bad habit. But encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Do you see the day drawing near? I see the day drawing near. And it's a time to encourage one another all the more. Praise Him all the more. As you see the day drawing near. Now people go, they look at, oh, the world's getting worse. And you know what our response? Oh, praise you, Jesus. You're coming back. Praise Him. As you see the day approaching, as you go through trouble, praise Him all the more. Anybody get anything out of this today? Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, help us to lift up Your name in every circumstance, in every situation. Lord, just as this is Palm Sunday, You've given us each two palms to raise every day. We're not going to wait 52 weeks till next year to Palm Sunday to lift up our palms, our praise, our hosanna. We're going to get our hosanna on every day. We're going to get our praise on every morning when I wake up. I'm going to lift up holy hands to God. Every night when I go to bed, I'm going to lift up holy. Every noontime, I'm going to lift up holy hands. When things don't look good, I'm going to lift up holy hands. When I'm sick, I'm going to lift up holy hands. When I'm tired, I'm going to lift up holy hands. Whatever I'm facing, I'm going to lift up holy hands, and all the more as I see the day approaching. I pray for everybody here today, Lord. Whatever we're going through, we're going to go through. It's not going to overcome us. We're going to overcome it by the power of praise, which releases Your power. You might feel like you're on that downhill slide right now. It looks like doom. The bottom is you're going to get crushed in the rocks. Shout the name of Jesus. Praise God. Just start praising Him and thanking Him. Because I'm here today to tell you, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to win. You're going to win the victory. The devil's not going to win. The devil's not going to beat you. He's not going to dominate you. You're going to win in the name of Jesus. Father, I just pray for everybody today that's going through something. They've got a mountain. They've got a trial. They've got a test. I pray for strength on the inside of them right now in Jesus' name. Strengthen each one, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for you today, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know. Think so. Hope so. Not really sure. That's a pretty important consequence to be leaving to chance. You say, yeah, but can anybody know? Yeah. The Bible says, I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that in John chapter 3, and He said, you must be born again. That simply means there comes a time in your life you surrender your life to Christ. You ask Him to forgive your sins. He comes, He lives on the inside of you, and He makes you into a new person. If you've ever done that, you're not sure if you've ever done that. That's why you're here today. And in just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But you might be here today and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm not where I want to be with God. And I want to get back on track. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward. But if you want me to pray for you and you want today to be a new day, you want to be sure if you die tonight you go to heaven, or you want to get back on track with God, would you just slip up your hand right now? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Everybody pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on a cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow from this day forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God.